Hi, this is Monica Abbott, and I'm inviting you to be a part of the first annual MA14 golf tournament brought to you by Shields. We'll have golf, a silent auction, putting contest, and it all benefits scholarship opportunities for female athletes. Learn more at monicaabbott.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, hump day, December 1st, 2021. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, the Drake Jason Justice filling in for Jake Gutierrez. And we have, and you know what, the rundown was correct. Not only is Nick Leckie on the show, he's in studio, back where he belongs for the hour. What's up, Nick Leckie? How are you?
Man, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I got some time in my life. So came in for an hour, right? Hour, half hour. Until I get kicked out. And then we can do hot mic after this or what?
I don't have anything scheduled. But I mean, look, again, you're on the guest list, but you know that mic in there is a lot different than these mics. It'll go in different.
Mic. Trust me, that's like real me.
What I want, hot mic. Okay, I want in there is I want details about recruiting visits.
Of course.
I want just all kinds of stuff.
Of course. It's like, it's not as cool as Johnny Dangerously, which to me is the greatest movie about recruiting. People don't know about it. It's got Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall.
Johnny Be Good.
Johnny
Dangerously was the...
Different movie.
It was Johnny Piscopo and Michael Keaton, right?
Love that movie.
By the way... I hadn't heard Joe Piscopo's name in too long.
So,
Danny Vermin.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new Halloween Kills?
Nah.
He's in that. And I just... I had to look. I go...
Yeah, he's like gotten buff.
Oh, no, right.
He got a glow up.
Right. No, you know, Johnny B. Good was real good.
Really good movie.
Right.
Yeah, that is the best. That's better than a program to me, because that's like real recruiting. Like he goes down to Texas State or Big Texas, and they have a pick him up in a Cadillac with the bull horns on the front, like your boy Jared.
That's right.
Used to have that type thing.
That's right. Jared Allen.
Getting paid. They gave his buddy a Jeep. I mean, that's what they're doing now, essentially. I mean, it's pretty much unlicensed with recruiting. It'd be good to be a recruit right now.
So, you know, Uma Thurman was in that movie?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Johnny Be Good?
Yeah.
She's a girlfriend, I'm all assuming? Right.
Jennifer Tilly.
What's
there was quite a...
It's a who's who.
Right.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr., I mean, he's...
You don't have to give specifics until Hot Mike with SSJ.
Right.
But what recruiting visit offered you the most perks?
Perks? You know, I had some scheduled to, like, LSU and Texas and maybe Mizzou and somewhere else. I kept one open.
Right.
I didn't go on them because I went to K-State. You know, we lost in our first round of playoffs, and K-State was in my high school that Monday. They're like, hey, come up this weekend. I go, okay, I got nothing going on. Why not? And I committed.
Who was in your high school? Who was it?
Greg Peterson, who's the wide receiver coach.
And you go up there, and so why did you commit right away? It was just like it felt right?
I know myself, and the whole coaches at K-State say, you know, get you on campus, and you'll stay. And because, you know, K-State's in hill country. You know, it's middle of the Flint Hills. There's some little bit of hilly terrain there on the Manhattan sign. And I know myself that I think in Austin or Baton Rouge, I would have got lost in the sauce. For sure, I would have.
What sauce? What sauce would you pick?
Either Cajun sauce or barbecue sauce.
When you got on campus, did you get a chance? Did you get like any one-on-one time with Bill Snyder?
How did that work? At the end, well, he didn't offer me. He didn't offer me that Sunday visit. He didn't offer me at all, and I left without an offer. And then Greg Peterson called me that night. Was like, hey, we do want to offer you. So maybe someone else backed out.
So were you like, but when you talked to Bill Snyder, how like were you intimidated? Was it like,
I was an 18 year old. Yeah, I was intimidating because I was in his office, you know, sitting on his chair. He's wearing a suit and tie. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, you got church? Am I making you late for church, buddy? What's the deal here? And so he was very intimidating to talk to as a high school kid, for sure. 100% yes.
But we're going to get into some of the things that you've seen and heard throughout your time. So you've agreed, a future guest of Hot Mic with SSJ.
Yes.
Were the gloves? Yes, Nate, the gloves come off.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's the thing is there's a lot of people campaigning to get on your show.
You got to have something to really offer.
I think, you know, you need
he's
to.
Got
you,
to he's well, got a lot you, to offer.
You got to be careful about what you ask for.
What? That's true. That's
you know, be careful what you ask for, because when you get in there, you know, there's no escape hatch. There's no chicken exit. You're in.
Oh, I'm ready. And I'm assuming it's like a cage match, right? They lock the key and or is it like Mad Max Thunderdome?
Right. Yeah.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
Yeah. Okay.
Break a deal, face the wheel. There's so many good rhymes in that movie.
So put we don't need another hero. What a wonderful
song. Oh man, Tina Turner.
Now put yourself back in the shoes of a young, fresh-faced Nick Leckie. You're a college football, that mentality of a college football player. I wanted to read to you the text message that Brian Kelly sent to his team to inform them about his departure from Notre Dame and taking the LSU job. And I'd like to know how you would react to this. People have criticized his text message. Other people said, hey, what do you want him to do? There's no right way to do it. And so this is, I just love the fact, and it was like within 5 minutes of this text being sent, it was out to like five different media members. Like, yeah. Here's a text that Brian Kelly literally just sent to his team. So here it is. 10:08 p.m., first of all.
Oh, wow.
How do you comment on that, the timing? The 10:08 text.
Like, are you focused? They're done playing. They have a bowl game, right? They might backdoor. Backdoor in the CFP.
Who knows? They're just waiting, right? Okay, so 10:08 text. Men, let me first apologize for the late night text. Wait. And more importantly, for not being able to share the news with you in person that I will be leaving Notre Dame. I am flying back to South Bend tonight to be able to meet with you in the morning. But the news broke late today. And I am sorry you found out through social media or news reports. I will have more to share when we meet tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Oh!
But for now, just know that my love for you is limitless.
Right.
And I am so proud of all that you've accomplished. Our program is elite because of your hard work and commitment, and I know that will continue. I will share more in the morning when we meet. Again, my sincere apologies for not being able to be the one to share the news directly with you, Coach Kelly.
So you throw that word commitment in there, and he's flat out giving up on a team midseason. I absolutely hate when college coaches do this. Like, they ask for your commitment. They say, come through, commit to this team. We're here. But guess what? When the right opportunity comes, peace out. I'm going to quit on you. And I think that's the biggest bunch of BS ever. I don't think you should be allowed to leave a team midseason, push the signing date back, have recruiting trips, after recruiting. So January, February, March, and push signing day back to April 1. Straight up.
So Drake, tell us, what did you hear on ESPN radio about how they're going to evaluate these teams?
Big middle finger to you.
And if you, so the coaching situation.
They were saying that the committee, one of the rules the committee uses is they are able to take into account whether or not the teams have the access to the players and or coaches that they had during the season when they're making their final decision.
So the point is, there is a scenario.
Yeah.
Where that. If a team or two loses on Saturday and then Notre Dame's part of the process and they say, you know what, maybe not because their coach left. You're talking about a team that has a reasonable shot at the college football playoffs, and this could cost them that.
Yeah, it's crazy to me, man, that he's allowed to choose. I mean, another imperialist scum, riding the backs off of semi-paid labor. Right now,
oh, you're stroking this guy. You're looking at Nate's alert and alive.
Listen, I saw that Lincoln Riley contract, and your boy wants to go coaching just because I like the last perk: unlimited use of the private jet for family, 24/7.
So first of all, 10:08.
That man
is 10:08. He says, "Let me apologize for the late night text." Is that a late night text?
10 o'clock. I don't know. If you're Brian Kelly, you just had your milk and cookies, and
you're making the kids nightcap on. You're making the kids meet at 7 o'clock
right.
in the morning.
I hate you.
So if I text you at 10:08, do I feel like that's a late night text?
That's not a late night text to a college kid.
Man, listen, right. In college, we used to go out at midnight.
That's when things are getting going.
Yeah,
but the point is,
but if I text Nick Leckie right now. Like at 10:08, is that a late night text?
That's kind of late. I'm 39 years old.
But let me ask you, Why does he got to make them get up at 7 a.m. for a meeting?
Because he's got to get his ass to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, he's got stuff to do. I'd come in.
I got 12 minutes for you guys at 7 a.m. Right. Be there.
Hey, 11 minutes. That's how long you talk to him.
Right? It's just absurd to me, too, man, how, like I said, the double standard. Like, people wonder why players are entering the transfer portal. It's because they see their coaches leave midseason. And it's been, you know, those are the guys who are setting the direction. You see all these coaches leaving midseason. Yeah, players are going to be like, okay, he can leave. Why can't I leave?
And why should players be criticized for opting out of a bowl game?
Yeah, no, I'm firmly agree with that. You know, unless you're in the playoffs, you can opt out if you feel like it's going to hurt your status. I mean, bowl games are irrelevant. I mean, they're fun as heck. You know, you get to tell recruits, you get gifts, you get to go to a vacation somewhere nice. Unless you're the Pinstripe Bowl, for Christ's sake. you know, or Boise, you know, go somewhere nice, have some gifts. But yeah, if you're a potential draft pick, you get hurt. That can only hurt your draft status.
What about the Independence Bowl in Shreveport?
Oh, God. Like to visit. Oh, no, thank you.
What was the best gift you received for playing in a bowl game?
So, relevance, but my senior year, we played in the Fiesta Bowl versus Ohio State, and we got portable DVD players.
Oh, there was a time then that was
an 03
fantastic.
That was like, Mike, we were like running around like we hit the lottery, like we got the golden ticket Charlie Chocolate Factory.
Be honest with you, for some reason I still have hundreds of DVDs. I wouldn't mind getting my hands on a brand new portable DVD player.
I do too, kid. I don't know what I have them for, but I still have them.
In hopes that someone gives me a portable DVD player.
Yes, yes. I mean, the battery life was like maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I mean,
you get half a movie.
You can watch a movie.
It's not portable. It's portable if you're near an outlet, you know?
What happened? Is there anywhere within your grasp? Was that just gone, or could that possibly be in a box somewhere?
It's in my house in an electronics box right now. That and my Pacific Life Holiday Bowl CD player that I got in 02.
Did it have the logos on these? That's what makes it really good.
Makes it good, man.
The guy I went to college with had a Laserdisc player.
Oh!
Remember those? It looked like the big old 45s.
Oh, hell yeah.
It took like three DVD. It took three laser discs to play one movie, you know? I gotta change it.
Tombstone was a four-disker.
Was it?
Tombstone was like four or five discs, and it goes side A to side B.
Yeah.
It's got to rotate. Yeah, you chose poorly if you bought a Laserdisc over a DVD.
Yeah, but those were hot for at least a month. They were like, oh, my gosh, can't believe this guy has this. Yeah,
about 5 years ago, I bought two of them on eBay. Just because I like, because I think, people can hang album covers on walls. I'm going to do it one day, but I have Gross Point Blank, which is, you know, you and I's favorite movie.
Favorite movie.
And a Pulp Fiction Criterion, and they're sealed.
Oh, that's,
you know,
that's
so that's
time.
Why I want them to get them framed, because those look cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool. I like that. And it's archaic as hell.
Okay, so you were saying, you know, that the coaches shouldn't be able to leave on their team in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
But coaches also... I can't believe I'm sticking up for coaches at all,
because
I think they're
corporate.
Well, they get fired in the middle of the season now too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like how many Texas Tech, they fired their coach on the day they were eligible to get to a bowl game won.
And by the way, you're 100% right. He is corporate.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just
a corporate. He absolutely is corporate.
That's right. Hey, that's why I lean into it. You know, I'm the corporate heel. The corporate champ over here. Let's go.
So
you know? I'm hoping to kiss my ass all the way to middle management.
There
that's
you
right.
go. There you go.
If you need an ass kiss or some boots licked, there's your guy right there. He's ready. Boy, Drake is really interested in this conversation. Yeah. This is your man.
I'm just glad they opened up to NIL, because this is what college football's become. Like, high school was pure-ish when I played. And then, like, college football's become so big. I mean, you get TV into it, and TV pollutes it. You know, you start bending down to TV, and it's not really like – when I hear, like, the AP 25 discussions, people get all topsy-turvy about it. If you ain't top five, you might as well be, you know, 26th. You know, it doesn't matter the rankings. And there's so much pettiness with reporters. They're almost getting to a point where we're beyond postmodernism or something, where head-to-heads don't even count anymore.
Right.
Which I'm like, okay, whatever. They're like, who has the better track record?
Metrics.
Who is this? Yeah. And it's like, man, I feel like with, like, you know, opponent, like you could beat someone who was number four, and then they tank all the way down to, like, unranked end of the season. And that affects you as far as your ranking. It should stop at where you played them at. Say, oh, we beat them to number four. Okay, leave it at that. And that's how it should be judged. Not like, oh, they're whatever. And, yeah, early losses. I have so much I could say about this.
I want you to.
Early losses are – it's always good to lose early. Never want to lose late. Heisman contenders have bad games early. This is basically the October-November award.
I don't want to suggest something completely radical, but in the world of sports where there's a scoreboard, you shouldn't have a system where judgment comes into play whatsoever.
Yeah.
If we have an established set of criteria that you know objectively who gets in, how, and why, which is how they do it in every other sport in the world, you don't have to worry about all that garbage.
No, you don't.
Because if we did it based on that stuff, Michigan doesn't belong on the field with Ohio State. If we're just judging by metrics and all those other things, you know, Michigan doesn't win.
Yeah.
But that's the beautiful thing about sports is that stuff doesn't matter because you actually have to go play the game. Sporting Kansas City was supposed to go smash RSL over the weekend. They got smashed, and they got to live with that. They got to live with that result, you know. And I hate it because it cost my team, but that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, oh, well, I'm looking at spreadsheets over here, and I say this team's better than that team.
I know, right?
So, you know, I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
And like,
but that's the way it's always been in college football.
That was
a real
and raw moment right there.
That was painful for me.
That was painful for me to go there.
That was corporate rawness right there. Well, I like Mike Leach, right? Even high school football has a playoff. Even NFL has a playoff. Get your stuff together, college football. Like, get rid of all of this, you know, sycophant stuff. And
every conference champ gets in.
Games.
Period. Every conference champ gets in.
Done.
Determine how you want to figure out who your conference champ is.
Yep.
Everybody knows what the rules are going into it. You gear everything up to trying to win your league, and then let's go.
Yep.
You know, that makes too much sense. Anyway.
It's too logical.
Yeah. We have Nick Leckie, former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints, and foodie on the social media.
Yes.
We will be right back after this with Nick Leckie on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Before we get into Chiefs and Broncos with Nick Leckie, one more question on college football. From a K-State perspective and a Big 12 perspective, what did you think of Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC?
I am so happy he gave middle finger to OU. It appears that he did not want to go to the SEC. And what coach would? Who wants that sort of stress test every damn week? You know, I think administration and fans are like, yay, we get to chant SEC and join the best conference in the world right now. And coaches and players are like, damn, this is going to be tough. You know, and it's like, I don't think they consulted him. That's why he was like, I'm not going. But that contract, though, I'm telling you guys, I was looking at houses in L.A. close to the John Mackey Center where USC practices. It's only 30 minutes from Santa Monica. And it's about, and that's assuming no traffic on the 10. And then it's also about 35 minutes from Venice. There's no homes for sale in Venice. I was looking on Redfin. You know, you can find a Bali-style bungalow for about 4.5 because, you know, they're going to buy him a $6 million crib. I like doing that. I like looking to see where would I live if I was Lincoln Riley.
So you kind of just went through the motions of, okay, I'm Lincoln Riley. Now let's look for a house.
Correct. I'm in L.A. I'm going to live by the coast. I'm going to live by the water. But, man, you can't live by the water for $6 million, man. It doesn't go as far as you think in
right.
L.A.
That's right. So I'll make a note of that information I'll never have to use for my entire life.
You know what? That settles it. I'm not moving to Manhattan Beach like
there
I was
go.
Planning.
Okay.
I'm out.
I've been thinking of taking up smoking. This clinches it.
So I started the show and talked about how exciting it is to come back right in the middle of game week for a game against the Denver Broncos that means something. Because we haven't had a whole lot of Chiefs-Broncos games where it meant something for both teams in quite some time. The Chiefs have dominated the Broncos. They've won 11 in a row. When I was younger, it seemed like the Broncos had the Chiefs number. The Chiefs would win every now and again, but, of course, the biggest game between the two teams was the playoff game after the 1997 season, and most everyone felt like, okay, whoever wins this game is not only going to go to the Super Bowl, but they're going to win the Super Bowl, and that's what happened. And it wasn't the Chiefs, and it was the Broncos, and I hated John Elway, and then I hated Peyton Manning, and then and even though the Chiefs and the Raiders historically is the biggest, best rivalry, for people the age of Nate and my age, it was because the Broncos were good and they were going to Super Bowls and John Elway was our boogeyman, right? And so now it's been so much fun to watch the roles reverse to now they can't beat the Chiefs. And they've lost 11 in a row. And they can't get quarterback. They try all this revolving door quarterbacks. Someone who can we get someone that can match up with Mahomes just like back then? Can we get someone to match up with that way? And now they can't, right?
Maybe we can make a defense that's good enough to slow them down
there
and stay in the game.
There you go. We're going to run the football.
Yeah.
And so you have Denver, though. They beat the Chargers a couple weeks ago. They handily beat the Dallas Cowboys. And so maybe they're actually believing they could do this, and they're only a game out of first place. And the Chiefs coming out of the bye week, they play the Broncos. Then they play the Raiders again. Then they play the Chargers again on Thursday Night Football. Two of these games in prime time. And I feel like we get a chance to have all three teams believing they have a chance to win the AFC West, and the Chiefs, one right after another, get to take a big dump on their seasons and remind them, no. This is still our division. So I'm super excited about this on Sunday night against the Broncos. Are the Broncos a legitimate contender, or will they be revealed to be a pretender?
Well, first of all divisional games. You know, you're so intimate with each other. You play each other twice a year, no matter what. So you know back and forth what they're doing. Maybe you've seen them on film a couple times. You know, you see what they're capable of. They definitely put the NFL world on notice when they got rid of Von Miller. I think Cowboys thought they're going to come in and just trounce them. And they were like, not so fast. You know, we got some things going. You know, we've kind of eliminated any sort of whatever's from the locker room. They got a good squad. You know, they got a really good squad.
I was shocked they beat the Chargers by two touchdowns.
Divisional game, man. You just never know what you're going to get.
And hey, we've mocked him a lot for that draft pick. He's playing well.
I'll still mock him for it.
You know? Yeah. But so I think that what this is, man, they're hot. You know, they're hot when they need to be come playoff time. So it's – but you're going to get the Chiefs' best shot just because, you know, they beat the Cowboys. You know, they're the team to kind of, you know, expose Dallas for a little bit for what they are. Dallas was caught slipping. And it's like now from here on out, you know, you're not going to sleep on Denver this year because of what they did there. And you're going to respect them. So it's actually – it went from a crappy matchup a couple weeks ago to a really good matchup.
Well, they flexed it, and then the Broncos beat the hell out of the Chargers.
Even better. So, yeah, so this could be one of those AFC – I mean, the title race is wide open if I'm correct, right? AFC West?
Right, but so the Chiefs – The Chiefs have a one-game lead over all the other three teams. But that's my point. It appears to be wide open. But I think the Chiefs are going to close the book on everyone.
If you look at the standings, it looks wide open, but it doesn't feel wide open.
Because I like it because it's been fun just to beat the hell out of the Broncos and they have no chance. But it could be even more fun if they think they have a chance. It's more because it sucks to lose to your
rival.
That's
like Charlie Brown thinks, I'm going to kick that ball
right
this time.
It sucks to lose your rival, but like if you're 5-10, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. It's like, whatever. Right. What else are you going to do to us? Right. But now they think that they can come in here and win, and they're not going to.
Yeah. I like what you say. That's the best. Like, it's not like they're not coming in defeated. Like, maybe they can ruin the Chiefs' season.
Right.
They're thinking of coming in. They can enhance their season with a win, with a statement win. To show the bowl committee that they're eligible for that wild card spot or for the AFC West spot. You know, they're battling for AFC West, so it's going to make December fun. And I'm sure everyone's glad they added that extra game.
It's like all the English people in Ted Lasso say, it's the hope that kills you.
I've not watched that show yet.
You would love it. You would absolutely love it. But that's one of the – it's an old English line, but the hope that kills you, the idea being that if you just don't get your hopes up, you don't get hurt as bad. What a negative way to look at life that is.
It is.
But it was like that around here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Chiefs would do it every – and the thing about the 90s, too, was the Chiefs would win a regular season game. You know, they would get the number one seed, and then you would get your hopes up a little bit. This time, we're going to beat the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was what made it so painful.
You get your hopes up, right? And then you just get crushed into oblivion.
Yeah, and I remember, like, that game in the playoffs against Elway, and it was so it made you sick even thinking about the game, you know, mm-hmm. and then going to the game because it was almost like you were more afraid of losing than you were hopeful of winning. At least for that, it's like because when they win this and this, then they'll you'll never be able. And this is the biggest matchup that these two teams could face each other in, unless it was the AFC Championship game. But like this is the Chiefs' best team that they finally have had, and this is the Broncos, and then they won, and it was horrific and terrible, and it makes you sick to even think about it now. But this is a different era, and now they're the ones that are always sick of these things. And so you tell me about Andy Reid after the bye week, getting ready for these three games that will decide the AFC West. Nick Jacobs tweeted this out. This is great stuff. 26-6 overall after the bye, 19-3 in the regular season, 7-3 in the postseason. He was 16-2 with the Eagles, 10-4 with the Chiefs, with Mahomes at quarterback, 7-1 after a bye week. That includes the postseason. That's real. They get healthy. The Chiefs are playing better. They come off a bye week.
I think what happened is that so I've been looking at this creativity all year that we've seen in the past, and pieces are coming together at the right time for Kansas City. Remember we talked about, right? Judge a season when it's done. You know, you can't judge a season before it's done because a lot of people are injured that we don't hear about. A lot of additions are made. Look at Melvin Ingram. He's hungry at DN. You know, didn't like being a backup. I think the game that awakened the sleeping giant was Andrew Wiley having to face Max Crosby versus that Las Vegas game. That was the first time all season I'd seen Andy scheme these plays where he was running like chip help with the tight end, but it was really a screen by the right tackle, or you're running formation, you're running a motion through the A gap and, you know, catching passes. You know, that sort of creativity is fostered when Andy has some free time to sit down and think, and that's why he's so good. His teams are so good coming out of the bye. It's because they're able to watch film, figure out those little nuances, see what works for them, and run it. And that's what you need. You need those little plays that are like, they're not like double reverse pass to the guy who was faking an injury and now he's good. It's just a little subtle change, and it puts teams on notice, and you're like, damn, and it catches you off guard.
We'll talk more about that after this with Nick Lecky in studio on WHB. Welcome back to the show. I'm forcing all guests to watch the St. Pius X lateral play from Robbie Sharp to Jack Marsh. What did you think of it? You've seen a lot of football with the entire season on the line and a trip to the state championship game.
Playoffs,
is that wild?
Man, they run to the left. He's getting gang tackled. He pitched the quarterback, and the guy's still running on the field. That's assignment sound football. You know, that he's carrying out his route and is wide open.
It's
amazing.
I told my son Phil, I said, this is one of those things, like, when you watch a sports movie and you see something that's ridiculous. Like, and so, like, if they would have put that, like, in a movie about high school football and that's how they win the game, I go, that's not realistic. That wouldn't happen. That's ridiculous. But that's what makes high school football so great.
It's, like I said, man, just a bunch of kids playing football and you just never know what's going to happen. Look at Mill Valley beat Derby in the 6A final, right? Who would have thought that? You know, people thought Derby was going to come in. My boy Brandon Clark, you know, receiver from K-State.
There you go.
Coach. They thought they're going to steamroll him, and no, Mill Valley did it, man. Or not Mill Valley, Northwest.
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 Right.
Blue Valley Northwest. Sorry.
So,
which I believe Buddy Biancolana's kids play on that Blue Valley Northwest team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a small, like, yeah, I just saw that awesome on social media. Yeah, it was some cool pictures from Buddy Biancolana and his kids. Pretty cool.
Okay, so offensive line, one question I have for you about the Chiefs coming out of the bye week. There's some good news there as far as injuries. The Chiefs activated Kyle Long off the PUP list. He's on the 53-man roster. This is a guy that came out of retirement and they got hurt right away, so we haven't seen him. What's reasonable and realistic to expect from him? They've had some issues at right tackle. He can play right tackle. Obviously, depth on the interior offensive line. What should we expect from Kyle Long? How can he help?
So they wouldn't activate him for a reason. So he's been practicing all year. He's been, you know, getting the motion there. He's been going against the defense on, you know, scout team, you know, running the plays. He's a veteran. He knows how to do it. It's something where you know, he provides depth. I don't know if, you know, Wiley or Niang are playing. Who's it going to be? And it's just something where I think it's an awesome move because it's guys been there. You know, you're not pulling in some guy who hasn't been there. You know, he's been there the whole season. just learning everything. And if you're a vet, man, you take all the mental reps you can. You watch the ones, you know, you watch your position. You say, okay, what am I doing here? Okay, here's what I'm doing. It's on two. Cool. So, yeah, so I trust him. He's a solid pickup, you know, from a football family. He knows what to do. Was great with the Bears. He's healthy. I love it. At depth. It's great.
And the lesson that we learned last year, you can't have enough offensive linemen. That's because correct. Even when you get, even if you get to the postseason healthy, all hell could break loose. And so even if you say, oh, well, you know, like you said, it'll be Remmers or Niang at right tackle and they don't need him at guard, in one snap, they could need him.
Man, you need all of them too. So, yeah, so it just, it's wild. But I love it. I mean, you can never add more depth and veteran depth too. Guys who have been there before, guys who can play at a high level. That's what you like. That's what makes Patrick feel safe back there in the pocket.
And he can play guard or tackle. So what do you expect to see from the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos?
Man, I'm hoping it's the Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Daryl Williams show. You know, I really love that, you know, Daryl, he got some time. He got some time to flourish. I've always, as an O-lineman, I love a running back playing for something. I love a hungry running back. And Williams is hungry. And he's, there's, like, everyone thinks, like, everyone, like, I watch running backs and I'm like, okay, who's a hard runner? And Daryl Williams earlier, not really that hard runner, but with this little stretch he's been on, he's found his confidence. You know, he's running with power. He's running with like, he trusts the O-line. And the Chiefs, they figured out how to run with this offensive line. And that's the beauty of it. Like, that's what they've been missing all years, is figuring out what to do. They're not a sweep team, not a power sweep. This team is a draw team. You know, this team can block the draw so damn well. And it lines up with what the Chiefs want to do, which is pass pro. So if you can throw in a draw and a pass pro, you're going to, one, if you run the ball, you're going to wear out your defenders so that they're not as strong come pass pro. And then secondly, they have to play the run now. They're not pinning their ears back and coming after the quarterback. So it opens up your whole offense by running the game.
Creed Humphrey.
Love him.
We talked about just looking at analytics and things like he grades out to be the best center in football.
That's crazy.
And I saw this, I don't know who did this glorious picture, but people have been retweeting this. I don't even know what I'm looking at, but I love it.
It's
this homage to Creed Humphrey. Nate, would you try to describe exactly what I'm seeing? Framed and put this on my wall.
Who is that on the left?
It's Conway Twitty in the clouds for some reason.
Because he's looking down on him.
Describe what else you see here.
Well, you got Purple Mountain's Majesty with some sun rays that are kind of emanating from Creed Humphrey's head. Right. There's Milwaukee's Beast, 12-pack, just kind of.
Is that a 12-pack?
It's like a 24-pack. It's like the ghost of a 24-pack of Milwaukee's Beast.
There's some grizzly long cut there.
Yeah, that's grimy. Yeah. That's that grimy.
That's the real tobacco.
But just like the roof particle or the insulation in it. So
yeah,
it's
fiberglass.
But like even the pose. He looks like an American hero here.
Right. He's old. Yeah, he's got the beard.
And I'm
going to
tell you.
His hair's blowing in the wind. There's a log cabin behind him that looks like he might have perhaps built by hand himself.
This thing. My favorite thing, there's Conway Twitty is just in the clouds smiling.
What's that orange structure below Kanye?
That's wood.
That looks
lumberyard.
That's a hunting vest.
That's a, I thought it was an orange outhouse from where I was sitting.
I wish that makes more sense. I don't know if you could put De Niro Deer Hunter in there. That would have been too much. I don't know. Christopher Walken.
The smile on Conway Twitty's face,
I'm retweeting this. Look how happy Conway Twitty is with
Creed
Humphrey.
That's the best. I wish.
Isn't that glorious?
Where did you get this?
Oh, I love
it. I searched Creed Humphrey because I was trying to get some numbers on him, and I see that this is better than any analytics you could offer me on Creed Humphrey.
Right.
When you ask me, like, why is Creed Humphrey the best rookie offensive lineman in football, I show you this picture and you say,
listen,
I get it.
That picture Creed Humphrey looks like Creed Humphrey played for the Dallas Texans.
Right. he looks really satisfied.
he played football in the 70s. No gloves, no wrist tape. not even sweating. That's a fourth preseason game. That's a third preseason game.
And I just retweeted this. So at SSJWHB. Man, I mean, what else do you say here?
Oh, my gosh.
There's a tractor involved over there.
Is there a tractor in there?
Yeah,
so many gems. Did Sully put that together?
Yeah. See, there's a...
Oh, yeah, that is a tractor.
There's a tractor right there.
Is that a ghost tractor? Like a Scooby-Doo? Like a Scooby-Doo?
There's like a pocket knife.
But is there a pocket knife?
There's a pocket knife.
No, it's a buck knife.
Is that what that is?
A buck knife.
So, I mean, you played the position. Can you put in proper perspective how incredibly impressive this kid has been as a rookie stepping in and starting day one at center?
It's amazing, but it speaks volumes about the level of football Oklahoma's offensive line play. I watched when I was doing my draft evaluation for Outside the Trenches or podcast. I watched him versus Florida because Florida always has, you know, top level D-line caliber talent, and he held his own. You know, he wasn't getting bulled. He was stout in the middle. He played center field very well in pass pro and just awesome. Left-handed center, no gloves. First of all, no gloves. Wow. That's impressive because I wore gloves all the time because I have delicate hands.
You know, still to this day,
still to this day, I wear that Michael Jackson with lotion in it. You know, what? But that picture encapsulates Creed. Where's he from? Is he from Oklahoma? Is he from like Shawnee, Oklahoma, or something like that?
Let me get the exact.
He's from some like he's Oklahoma through and through. Like, you know, he's probably got red dirt on his boots,
and he's got a mean streak.
Yeah,
Shawnee, Oklahoma.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Oklahoma's Oklahoma gets right there, man. That's how far are you off I-35 or off 44 on that one?
See, it's an Oklahoma City suburb. It's to the east of Oklahoma City by a little bit, right by Tecumseh.
There you go. You know? There you go. So he's hardened.
Yeah, it's real Oklahoma.
You know, he is grizzly long.
Population 29,857.
Oh, that's about the size of Grapevine, Texas.
Yeah. Okay. See?
Yeah. I love him though. And what he does well is you look at the good centers, they just do stuff so well where you never notice them. You know, he made a sweet downfield blocky pancake someone on a screen. That was cool. But just everything he does is good. He's not getting beat. He's not getting bull rushed. You know, Mahomes able to step up in the pocket. It's a crucial addition. I mean, everyone wants to like laugh or make fun of Veach's draft picks, and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Him and Trey Smith in the same class?
Right.
Are you kidding me? In the same class, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith.
And then sprinkle in Nick Bolton.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, the trio, that's the three amigos, is Willie, Anthony, Bolton. I love that.
And we talked about that because it took a while for them to be able to get all three of those guys on the field together, healthy, and you're seeing how much better it makes the defense.
Well, and that's a cool thing about injuries, to say that I said that properly, is that other people get a chance to step up and shine. And then that way, when they come and they get moved back out to Will linebacker or Sam or playing the mic, they have a total concept of not just their position, but what their position group is doing. And you're only going to get better as a team doing that. And it was just, I guess that's how you learn from injuries, you know, step up and then you go to a different role. It's awesome.
You know, what's interesting too about the Broncos is the quarterback situation. Like Bridgewater, even though they had that big win against the Chargers, he didn't play well and they had to put Drew Lock in, and then he didn't play well. And then it's Bridgewater. And there, rarely do you see a team that has two big wins in the last few games that feel like they're knocking on the door of the playoffs, and like, that quarterback situation is, I mean, clearly they're going to have someone else next year.
Yes.
But that's an issue. Can they overcome that problem and beat a team like the Chiefs on the road on Sunday Night Football with a division on the line?
If you can contain them with your defense, I mean, Chiefs, I mean, they put up a lot versus Vegas. Chiefs did, but that was only late. You know, it was still pretty tight till about fourth quarter, and then they blew them out. And then you look at the past couple of games, have they been scoring a lot? I mean, they really haven't been. I mean, the Dallas game, they scored, what, 19?
Mm-hmm.
So they're winning with defense. And the same thing with what Denver's doing right now, too. They're winning with defense.
Yeah, but now it's the Chiefs' offense coming off a bye week.
I'm telling you, man, this reminds you of 2019 when the Chiefs were languishing.
They were 6-4. Remember they had that loss against Tennessee? Everyone was pissed off?
They recalibrated, man.
And then that's what they never need. Lost again.
It's their big recalibration. That's what I'm telling you guys. Good teams show up November, December. December football is good football. This is when I really, really tune in to Sundays, and I'll watch all the games, see who's contender, who's pretender.
Are you Are you sitting next to me on the bandwagon that has the Chiefs going right back to the Super Bowl?
I've always said that. I've always said, you know, when this whole skid was happening, like, just chill, right? Be like, chill out.
Be like,
what's his name? What's his name's buddy? Aaron Rodgers, right? Just relax.
Just relax.
Who cares about September football? Win a couple games, get out, whatever.
Nick Lecky, a triumphant return to the studio is what I would call it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I look forward to this. Hot mic with SSJ. I don't know if you're looking for that, but
that's why I came in. Let's be honest. That's why I came in.
Everyone have a wonderful day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.